I have veered from the lectionary today and am reading from a passage in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of God's Love, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This is the very beginning of the book of Acts, so it's the very beginning of the earliest movement after Jesus' death. These first passages were about the time within 6 months of the death of Jesus, who had been, you know, definitely the leader. And they were carrying on Jesus' way, and they were growing in that. You know how we sometimes get set in our ways for 3 years. There'd been a leader. They'd been following the leader. They'd been soaking things up, asking questions, having conversations, eating together, and more eating together. And suddenly Jesus was no more with them in physical form. So they had to create from the teachings and from the feeling of Jesus' spirit with them a new movement, a new way of being to carry on. The disciples and the apostles committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles and life together, the common meal, and prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All these wonders and signs done through the apostles. All the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need could be met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their numbers grew as God added those who were saved. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. What's in your mind when you were singing those words? I immediately thought of ministering in downtown Montreal in a very poor community called Little Burgundy. At the church there in Little Burgundy, it's a big old brick building, small, two stories. The main floor is washrooms and the gym. And upstairs are classrooms, and that's the church building. I came into this church the other day, and Monica and Allison and Teresa and Margaret and a few others were showing me that my office is there, and 5 steps later we're into a sanctuary, and that there's room at the back there for people to just step out if they want to. And I was thinking, this is marvelous. And we have a great guy on the sound tech. What more could we ask for? In Little Burgundy, they had worship services too, but they were held in people's houses, just like in the first days of the apostles and the early church. And we would gather in somebody's house with a potluck and worship service. And there was no organ or piano or choir. But you know, when I was sitting on that stained, lumpy sofa, I have never in a church service felt as close to God as in that space. And that was when I learned that really, church is people who are open, with open hearts, worshiping God together, and then living that here and in the community and around the world. The second picture that came to mind was a camp. I was a camp counselor. This was a few years ago, and at Camp Getty in Nova Scotia. and had a really good bunch of kids, and they were like grade 6, grade 7. And every evening, if you've been to camp or heard stories of camp, you've probably heard of campfire. Every evening we would gather for singing and for worship around a campfire. And it was dark at night. It was just a wonderful, right on the ocean, high on a cliff. It was just a wonderful place to be. And one night, my cabin didn't show up. Now, have you ever been responsible for something where your cabin or whatever just didn't show up? It wasn't that they were doing a bad job. They just never showed. Well, and I'm a type A. I'm learning to become more type B, but I'm still, there's a part of me that's, I was very much type A then. So I went off in a huff looking for my cabin. Where could they be? Well, Anne had tripped on the way to worship, to campfire. She had tripped. She had sprained or something her ankle. So they'd gone back. They got her a sleeping bag. They put her on the sleeping bag. They raised it up, and they were carrying her to campfire. Oh. Well, I guess these kids have more of the Spirit of God in them than their counselor does. And that was when I first realized just how important it is to be in the moment. To be in the moment when we're at church or with a Christian community or having our lunch or even standing in line at the grocery store. To be present and to be able to offer ourselves as these kids did. Nobody had to teach them how to do that. They'd seen other people do it in their lives. They'd heard other stories, and they knew what to do. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. Today's reading from Acts records some of the happenings of those who were following in Jesus' way in the earliest months following Jesus' death. Jesus' followers are Jews, just as Jesus was. They still go to the temple because it's in Jerusalem. They go to the temple. They still have the same rights and responsibilities and observe the same laws as they did as Jews because that's who they are. That's in their core, they would say that. They're living in Jerusalem, which is a politically and religiously volatile place to be. They know that Jesus died because he was rubbing the politicians and the clergy the wrong way. They knew that they were too. And so there was a courage in being part of this first group. And there's an urgency because they think that Jesus is going to return any day now. And so that's why when you read in Paul in particular about, don't worry about this, don't worry about that, don't worry about the other thing, it's because he thinks there's no need, because in the next few years, if not sooner, Jesus will be back. And so Peter is preaching, and this is what he says in the passage just before what we read today. Some of it, change your life, turn to God, receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, get out while you can. Get out of the sticks, get out of the sick and stupid culture. That's how it's translated in the Message. And how can the average peasant who doesn't have much in the way of resources, how can they change their lives in that sick and stupid culture? Jesus had had patrons when he was in his ministry. He had had people who were supporting him. And oftentimes those were wealthy women. They would support him in his ministry, and they carried on with the apostles, supporting them as well. And I would imagine that when you combine the gifts the givings, all they had of the rich patrons, along with the peasants who were coming in, who had not a whole lot financially, but had a lot of experience and were so looking for a change in the way they were living and their society was living, that they brought a really rich dynamic as well. And everyone's need was met. Need goes beyond food, doesn't it? Need goes beyond clothing. Sometimes I think what I need more than anything else in life is people I can trust. It can, you know, maybe it's one or two or maybe 10, depending on you, you know, and your personality. I need a few that I can just talk to. And I don't have to worry that what I say is going to be right or wrong, that I have to tidy up what's on my mind. Sometimes I just need somebody there so that I can hear myself and hear what's really going on in me. And as I've never been starving and I've never been without clothing, this is what I would need, I think, in my life. There were no guarantees with that first early, what we call now church. It was a miracle, actually, that they could come together, that they could find a way that was life-giving and creative. They could risk what they had, even if it wasn't what they wanted, and share. And in that culture, sharing was a miracle. When Jesus was feeding the 5,000 and there was enough for everyone when they started to share, that was a miracle, because in those days you packed what you needed for your day and that was it, and you didn't worry about anybody around you. So there were lots of miracles that were happening as people were living into this abundant life that Jesus was calling them to. They lived as one big happy family. About 20 years ago, Teresa knows this piece, and anybody who was on the interview team, about 20 years ago, I was going out with a person and we decided it was time to come together as family. And so we brought my three kids and their four kids together, and Diana, who was seven, she just loved it. And we loved it. There's three. Now they've got those six. And we had six teenagers. And not one of them even liked it. Every one of them, they were saints until this happened. Every one of them acted out that year in ways that we couldn't have imagined. So when I read about a group of people who were basically strangers coming together, pooling their resources, well, we'd done that and we'd known each other for years and we were happy together and all of that, I just can see some of the courage that it would take. And there must have been all sorts of different problems that they had to be creative about. For us, it took time. I don't think you can be a family, this is just my personal, and if you disagree with me, you can come talk. I won't try and convince you my way's right, because my way's just my way. But I do enjoy hearing what your experiences have been and are. My experience is that we could not create family until we were able to come together, to be together at meals for fun times, you know, in the good, bad, and the ugly. And it was just through years and years and years of coming together as best we could and us keeping a positive attitude that we have become a family. There's a miracle. That first year, wouldn't want to relive that. But we are a family, and we do care for each other, and the kids are all close to each other now. But it took a lot of time. I think in a community like a church, it takes time to get to know each other, because it's a different context than the rest of your lives for many. And things like name tags help, so that we can call each other by name and come into special meals and activities, just to get to know each other a bit better. That's how things get deeper. We also, my partner and I, shared a lot of grace. The kids weren't big on grace in the beginning, but they are now. They've taught us a lot about grace in the past years, but we had to show a lot of grace, just as we sometimes, living in a church family, need to show each other grace. And what surprises me is that in another couple of chapters, people in Jerusalem are saying, look at these crazy people. Look at these crazy people. Look at how much they love each other. And that's not a sappy love. That's not a gushy-gushy love. That's a love of being there with open hearts, listening and sharing and being. That's, I believe, what Jesus is asking us to do in community. To be with each other, to come with open hearts. That's a toughie. I still don't always have an open heart. I'm still resentful at times. That can be tough for type A's in particular. But I don't feel I'm fully alive unless I do have an open heart. So come with an open heart. Come to worship God. Come to feel God's presence. And as I look around, I see God's presence in so many different forms here this morning. I'm going to enjoy getting to experience the God in you as you experience the God in me over these months. My wish for me and for you and for the church together is that we might risk to stay open to God's amazing Spirit, that we may continue growing in celebrating God's Spirit, this river of life that flows through us and between us. When we gather here as St. James Rosemount Community, we are little more than strangers, many of us, in the deepest sense. And yet, I'm already experiencing your love. In the care you have shown me, numerous people over the last weeks, how do you see God's love in this community? How do you live God's love in your life? Today's reading reminds me that God is calling us and challenging us to love and be loved in the whole of our living. Hands up, how many of you are able to stay a while and have lunch together in community here today? Not to put you on the spot. Oh, that's going to be a good crowd. Do you have enough food? There you go. And we have plenty. There's plenty. So I'm going to ask you, when you're coming downstairs for lunch and as you're having lunch today, I would ask you to be intentional in bringing your open and compassionate heart and to be inquisitive and respectful of others and join in a conversation that you might have never had with someone. I know some of you have been here for a long, long time and you know many, many people, but none of us knows everything about everyone. Try and get outside your comfort zone. Sit with somebody you haven't been sitting with before. Maybe you've just seen them across the aisles. Maybe you've worked on a committee with them, but you know that they're good at this, but you've never really sat down and talked to them about that. I thank God for this physical space, this welcome, this sanctuary, so that we may all grow in being open to God's Spirit. May the mystery and surprise of God's creative Spirit be with us all. Amen.